webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
God, I love that. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's George Howell Day, Wednesday, May 11th, 2011. The only Wednesday, May 11th, 2011 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this Wednesday night. Yes, it is Geo Howell Day. It was established on Greg Ambergy, of all people's Facebook wall, that today would be Geo Howell Day. And, of course, you beautiful humans know that this is, we are in the midst of the seventh month of the decade of Greg. And you know that we at the Gospel Revolution like to give ourselves tags and nicknames and titles. And why do you ask? Because we can. So welcome in on Geo Howell Day. It's the first Geo Howell Day ever. And George, of course, our senior correspondent from Monongahela. Did I pronounce it right? Monongahela.
You did it.
Pennsylvania. And speaking of titles, let us please welcome the Grand Poobah of the Gospel Revolution, all the way from the home offices in Houston, Texas, the legendary Michael Williams. Michael?
Good evening, Brother Glenn.
How are you, my brother, from another mother?
You know what? I have assessed myself today. And I have found myself righteous, holy, perfect, and at the moment, sane, stable, happy. It's good.
Yeah, that is good news.
Yeah, that has not always been that way. Part of it has always been that way, but the rest of it wasn't.
No, I hear you. I see what you're stepping in. We want your and need your participation tonight. The lines are open, folks. If you're listening live and it's 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the U.S. of A., please give us a call, 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free line. If you're listening outside of Canada or the U.S. of A., please call us at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. We cannot implore you enough to participate. If you're listening live, you can always email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. But we cannot request enough your participation. The material that we cover is life-affirming, life-changing. Your whole perspective will be affected. It's the gospel. I mean, it's the truth. It's the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to announce now, because I want to, and because I can, that based on Michael's strong desire to reclaim the terms of the Bible from Christianity, I am hereby announcing that I will no longer refer to Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ. Because that's not his name. I am going to refer to him by his actual name from here on out. Now, I'm not laying down a law. I'm just telling you what's in my heart. Jesus' name in Hebrew is actually Yeshua. Salvation is what that means. Jesus actually means of Zeus. When the Emperor Constantine was trying to coalesce this newfound movement that they called initially the Way, he wanted to try to convince the Romans that this was of their Greek pagan mindset. And he said, this is of Zeus. He's of Zeus. He's Jesus. And so I'm going back to the roots, and I am going to refer to Joshua by his given English name. Joshua. Joshua the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. Jesus the Messiah. See, I just did. I just broke. See, every time you lay down a law, you break the law. But when you hear Joshua referred to, you will know who I'm going to call him Josh sometimes because I just can. So you can do what you want, folks, but that's when you hear the name Joshua, that is talking about the Lord and Savior, Joshua Josephson, Joshua the son of Joseph. You know, Michael, you're talking about your status. We were talking about Facebook with Greg and George Howell and so many friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution on Facebook. But one of the things you do, of course, is you give your status. And you were talking about your status of being holy and righteous and stable and happy and all those things. Last week, as many of you beautiful humans know, I have moved into new digs. I'm in a new house that happened a couple weeks ago. And last week, my new roommate, Michelle, and my BFF, Carla, were listening to the webcast. And this was Michelle's first foray into the Gospel Revolution. And she pretty much was very blown away. She's got a Christian background, and I have shared with her the gospel, Michael. But I, of course, was interested after she heard the show what she thought, and she was really blown away. And she was felling in Hebrew. I mean, just overjoyed. And here's what she said. That was fantastic. That was awesome. What's next week's show going to be about? And I said, the same thing. It's always about the same thing. It's always about the gospel. We can look at the gospel from many different perspectives, but because the gospel is so powerful to the saving of our souls, it needs to be recitated and rehearsed over and over and over again to the cleansing of our souls.
And Paul said that grace was multifaceted. So you just, you know, what you're saying is actually in Paul's teaching, there's so many angles to it, so many reflections, so many ways to reflect the gospel of grace. I think the gospel piece is probably multifaceted too. You just never exhaust the ways that it reflects, because those two principles of absolute truth, gospel peace and gospel of grace, need to be reflective into every part of every day of every human's life on all of the face of planet Earth. So this is not something that you can exhaust the subject because of its multifacetedness. It is just, and the way that it reflects in each heart is, it is just I think one of the most amazing things to me with the gospel is that it fits every heart and it will take you on right where you are. You don't have to change. You don't have to prepare for it. You don't have to get ready. You don't have to fast. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to turn your face toward Mecca or Jerusalem, right, or any other place on earth.
Right. You don't have to go to church.
You don't have to do anything. The gospel is ready for you right where you are. I just got a Holy Ghost shiver all the way through. That is just so amazing to me that the gospel will meet you today, right now, on this spot. The gospel doesn't need reservations. The gospel doesn't need to know when or where. The gospel doesn't need advance notice. The gospel, though, will not show up unannounced. This is, really is something that that you have to choose to hear, and that's the reason that we're sharing the gospel, is to at least give people the choice. I think one of the saddest things on earth is that in my church history, Glenn, I didn't have a choice to get to listen to the gospel. it was not my choice. That nobody ever presented the gospel to me. I never heard the gospel of peace. I never heard the gospel of grace. Can you imagine, after getting to some degree of acclaim in Christianity and working my way up, or floating to the top, as I say, in Christianity, which the weakest and the most insecure float to the top in Christianity all the time. It just seems to always be that way. At least 90% of the time it's that way. And I had floated to the top. I was, or at least on my way there. And I had to come to grips with the fact I had never heard the only two things that Paul called the gospel. I'd never heard the gospel of grace or the gospel of peace. They were telling me I was listening to the gospel of healing, the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of demonology, and the list went on and on. And there is no gospel of these things at all. And the only two things called the gospel, nobody had ever even mentioned it to me, much less had a sermon on it or a series. I mean, where was the series? I went to the bookstore just to find a book on the gospel of grace. There wasn't a single book in those days on the subject of grace in the Bible bookstores. They were all on faith. And my goodness, I'm just so grateful to I'm grateful for the gospel. I am so proud of the gospel. Oh my gosh!
What do you mean when you say that you are proud of the gospel?
It is so amazing. I am proud of the gospel because it embraces everybody right where you are. The gospel is like the best friend on earth. There is, you know, everybody sits back and thinks about that person in their life that would be there at all times, would never judge them, would be absolutely supportive, would never condemn. All of the things that you can think of that
and that would love you no matter what. So this is perfect.
Right where you are.
This is a perfect segue, because this morning I was reading and I saw a quote from, ironically, a Catholic saint named Saint Teresa of Avila. And I immediately thought of the person in my life, and was verklempt. You know that term, verklempt?
I do know that
term.
Yeah,
it's a good Jewish term. It means just overtaken with emotion. From St. Teresa of Avila, that immediately made me think of her and made me think of the power of this gospel and why we're so blessed and we're so proud of the gospel. And here was the quote, folks, if you didn't see it on the email. The pain was so sharp that it made me utter several moans. And so excessive was the sweetness caused me by this intense pain that one can never wish to lose it, nor will one's soul be content with anything less than God.
Yeah.
And that was written, ladies and gentlemen, about 500 plus years ago.
Yeah.
Somebody understood the power on the soul of this gospel, this good news, this cleansing of the soul, this renewing of the mind, this total acceptance of exactly who you are, the imputation of righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and redemption that has been imparted to every single human being that has ever lived or ever will live. That's something to be proud of, Michael.
That makes me want to say, yay, Josh.
Yay, salvation.
So, I just had to beat you to it, Glenn. I just had to.
I appreciate it. We've got a caller online, which we want to get to. He's been waiting patiently, and he is our dear senior correspondent from Calgary, the host of the Grace Conference that's coming up in June. Michael's going to be going up to back to Calgary.
Oh, my gosh, please, it is true.
Please welcome online our dear brother, Vic Dobrennan. Vic!
Hello, boys.
Yeah.
Hey, Victor.
How are you there, eh?
I'm doing good.
I got to ask you something. I appreciate you saying that you're doing good, and I believe that, of course.
Yeah.
But how much gooder are you doing just hearing the recitation of this wonderful message in the last 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah. It's life-giving. And, you know, I mean, my comment is this. Understand me. I have found a new admiration for the religion of Islam.
Really?
We're listening.
Yeah. The reason for it, they're consistent. Like I've been reading the Quran. And
only you would break out the Quran.
Yeah, it's actually one of my fave subjects. But I have been reading it. I'm about three quarters of the way through. But one of the things that really strikes me is the consistency, and that's when I say consistent, almost every page, and I do not exaggerate, mentions, exhorts, or warns of the eternal fires for the losers,
wow,
in quotes, the losers. And and it's remarkable the consistency of Big Al, you know, the Big Daddy guy, Allah. He's just a mean dude,
and
you know, there's, you obey, and as long as you obey, you know, you'll get to paradise and, you know, stuff like that. But there's a consistency of Allah and Islam. And I, you know, I admire that consistency. Now, last week or a couple of weeks ago, you played that interview of Franklin Graham.
Right. That was last week,
and
yeah.
To compare the two, Christianity and Islam, Christianity's got, you know, the lovely Jesus, the little lamb guy who loves the lambs and loves the little kids and, loves all people, and he just loves the world, right?
Right, but he's going to come back on a
but
white
horse. He turns into this
exactly.
this executioner
yes,
guy.
Yeah.
Who is, and according to Franklin Graham, he's going to throw you into the lake of fire.
That's what he said.
You know.
Woohoo!
And the schizophrenia that is rampant.
Yeah, come on.
In that mindset. Like I say, go back to Islam. If you look at Islamic people, the Muslims, they're pretty consistent right across the board. They don't badmouth their own religion. They don't, you know, the terrorists. You don't know what they're thinking, really, but actually you do know what they're thinking because, according to the Quran, you cannot criticize a brother, otherwise you're an apostate yourself. So, but again, like I say, there's that consistency. Can you imagine if we had the consistency rampant in Christianity of the gospel,
yeah,
of grace,
well, it's not,
of
it's,
peace.
It's not possible. As Michael has stated on
no,
so many
well,
cases.
No, in Christianity it's impossible.
No.
But I'm talking about, you know, if this message were to take hold, and I believe it's going to take hold.
Well, it's happening. It's a process. We're seeing it happen right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. But you see, that's the thing that's been lacking for two centuries or two millennia in this movement called
consistency
that Jesus started, and that is, you know, there's a schizophrenia.
Exactly, consistency, yep. Michael, and a rational, vital, logical, mental disposition.
Yeah, it has been the gospel has been excommunicated from Christianity.
Exactly,
and
you
know,
they've got one up on us on that one. Islam does, and it's a sorry mess, of course, because everybody's motivated by fear over there. But you got to hand it to them, the consistency on every page. I do not exaggerate on every page of the Quran. You can download it on Google. You can download a whole copy of the Quran.
Right, and I would be remiss not to mention that Muhammad, of course, was inspired, Michael, by Christianity, by the so-called forefathers.
Of course.
Yep.
You know, Islam is simply a bastardization of Judaism and Christianity.
Yeah,
you know, they,
that's very true.
Left, right, and center. I mean, you know, the big characters are Moses and David and Solomon, and they just go as repetitive over, like, on almost every chapter. That, you know, those
right, and they also admire, and here I will use the term from the religion, they admire Jesus. They admire
yes.
the one of Zeus as well.
Yes, of course, he's not the son of God, because Big Al has no sons. But
he is the prophet. And,
he is the prophet.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. So that's all I wanted to say, is that, hey, there's some admiration there because of the consistency that they, you know, that they preach. So.
Hey, Vic, did you get the edit for the Grace Conferences?
I made those changes, and I'm going to send that out.
Okay, because Vic, of course, is in charge and hosting the conference at the end of June, which, of course, will be on GospelRevolution.com, and I know, Michael, you're very much looking forward to going back up to the north.
Yes, I am. You know, Calgary is one of those places that it's like second home, and I don't ever have to play catch-up no matter what because, you know, the majority of the folks that come there, you know, have heard pretty much everything I've had to say up until then. But it's always wonderful because, you know, it's just nice to see people.
Although you have to say that this last series that came out of the last visit in Calgary on the
yep.
image of God, and if you haven't gotten that, folks, you want to go to the website, gospelrevolution.com, and order it. Download it, which is less expensive, or you can order it on the CD series. But people were blown away, Vic, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great. It was great. And we're looking forward to having Mike here again. And as I say, this newsletter is going out and expect great things. I've mentioned some of the wonderful things that are going on, the book and the YouTube stuff that's happening. And, you know, the updates, how Jeff is maintaining the webpage and keeping that thing current. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, and that
thing
looking
good. A lot of hard
work
is going on. And I think people are going to appreciate that, and I think we're going to have a good crowd.
All right,
awesome.
Buddy.
I'm sure looking forward to it.
Hey, Vic,
right.
you know, there's hockey still going on here in the Bay of the Holy Spirit.
You son of a gun. The Tampa
yeah.
Bay Lightning took out Washington, my favorite team.
They took out the Ovechkin and the Capitals, and now the Bruins are next, my friend.
Yeah. Well, and Vancouver's going to hold the fort.
No,
sorry,
yeah,
bud.
No, we're going to take on Ken Kemp's Vancouver Knucks. It's the Knucks and the Bolts in the finals. I'm predicting it right now. I'm prophesying. All right, buddy. We love you.
Okay.
Thank you for everything.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. There's Victor Brennan. What a guy.
Always and forever. Yeah. You know, and he's really correct about this view. Goodness gracious, I rely on so many people out there to do the things I need to know that I would never do. Read the Quran? Hello? I ain't doing it. But I do have, you know, somebody like Vic, who is very astute to things like this. He reads through it and gives me the report. You know, now I know that almost every page in the Quran there's a wrathful, angry God, and that almost every page is a burning hell that's waiting for you. And that consistency is really remarkable. The inconsistency of Christianity is what's going to be its undoing. And once the gospel gets face to face with Islam, the gospel will be the undoing of Islam also, and all the other religions of the world.
All the other religions, exactly right. Don't forget, folks, that religion comes from the Latin word root, religare. Religare
yeah.
literally means to put, not under bondage, but to put back under bondage, to re-legion. We're not about religion. We're not about putting people back under bondage. We're about revealing the freedom that has already been imputed to your heart. you are as free as you are ever going to be. And rejoice in that and think about it and meditate it. And the consistent and constant meditation of that will, Michael, it cleanses one's soul. It just does. I mean, it works.
Yeah, the gospel is the power of God, according to what Paul had to say. And he said that its power is seen in its ability to save the soul. You know, a lot of religious people are looking for the power of God. This just amazes me. I feel so fortunate. I feel it's just unbelievable. Can you guys get this? How fortunate anyone is that knows what the power of God is, how it shows up, and what it does when it's there. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Who else can tell you that? Instead of somebody giving you an illusion looking for Mary or on a piece of burnt toast or an image somewhere in a foreign country and people flying there.
A water stain on a bank window in Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, my gosh. And Franklin Graham and his spewings, my goodness. And then I had the nerve to turn on the Van Empies yesterday. And oh my gosh, it was the same thing. And Roxella gave all the headlines and had the audacity to say for the millionth time, oh, it has never been this bad. This is surely the sign of the returning of the Lord. And she said it every single program. Every program, she said, yes, there's earthquakes, yes, there's, yeah, we know all that, but it's never been this bad. It's like, how many times can you say such foolishness and get by with it? Well, let me tell you how many times you can say it. As long as people are void of the gospel, you can get by with all the religious crap you want. All you want. You can talk about Jesus on a piece of toast. You can talk about Jesus coming back. Every program and that every news headline that you pick up is validation that what you preach is true. You can say publicly, forget the children of the Holocaust.
Right.
How in the hell did this guy get by with that?
That's if you didn't hear, by the way, folks, if you didn't hear last week's show, please, if you have not ever listened to an archive, please go back and listen to last week's show, because we had the clip from the O'Reilly Factor with Franklin Graham when he literally said, forget about the children of the Holocaust, when Bill O'Reilly challenged him with what happened to the victims of the Holocaust. And you need to hear that entire show. We had so many good comments from around the world about that program. And by the way, Billy Graham, Franklin's dad, was hospitalized for a pulmonary condition. And he has been admitted to a Nashville, North Carolina hospital. He's 92 years old. Michael, if you're Franklin Graham and Franklin Graham's family, how are you praying for Billy Graham tonight?
Well, Jesus, I tell you what I see in Franklin, he wants to be the potentate so bad. I know that's his father and everything, and I know that there's that connection. But, man, he wants that position. You know, it's just so obvious that position is so vitally important. And I've not seen his sister around. They smushed her down somewhere for some reason. But Anne, is that her name?
Right.
She used to be on, during 9/11, she was on all the time. And I guess they finally figured out they needed just one spokesman from the family, because she really isn't out there anymore. Not, being a spokesman like she was before, along with her brother. And so I don't know if she was too kind or what it was, but man, I tell you, who knows? Who knows what would be going on? Billy Graham is a world figure. You know, he's a very well-known figure on the world stage through many presidents and everything else. But the thing that I have come to respect about Billy Graham is that over the years, his openness to say he was wrong and the ideas that he's come up with now, which his son tries desperately to silence the old man now, because the old man is saying that he thinks everybody's going to heaven. But man, I tell you what, if you heard Franklin's interview with Bill O'Reilly, you'll know that not only is not everybody going to heaven, very, very few, fewer than you thought, are going to make it, for sure. Oh, my goodness.
Well, earlier we were talking before the show, you said that perhaps Franklin's appearance on the O'Reilly show and what he had to say may have sent his father to the hospital.
Yeah, could have put him in a cardiac arrest. I mean, my gosh, you know, here's this man. After all these years, you know, he is understanding more of the gospel. He's understanding, and he doesn't. He's in public interviews. He has said that he thinks that Jesus, the sacrifice of the cross, was good enough for everybody. And boy, Franklin gets so offended by that, almost like it's a personal thing between he and his father.
Right, because when you get closer to the grave, folks, and you've lived a long time, the things of the material world become less and less important. Power and prestige and money and the allure of those things become less and less important. And I'll say it this way, Michael, that when the gospel begins to take hold in one's soul, those become less and less important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing of it is, I believe that we come into this world with a perfect heart. And I think that the process that Billy Graham has gone through, I think he did the best he could do with what he knew. But as he got older, I think what has happened to him is that he found that his heart was kinder than his doctrine.
Yeah.
And so he has begun to change his doctrine, which his son absolutely not only does not agree with his father about this, but has gone, Billy never taught the threats the way that his son Franklin does about being thrown into hell. He made sure that Bill O'Reilly understood people weren't just going to go to hell. They were going to be thrown into hell by God. And that's not anything that Billy Graham ever said in his entire life, or never come anywhere close to that. So it seems like there's a rift in the family, actually. And I wish Billy had the opportunity to say what he has to say. It almost seems as though as eloquent as he's always been, it seems as though his voice has been taken away from him in the last few years. And with as vehemently as his son disagrees with him, you wonder if it's not just orchestrated completely that he's being silenced.
Well, there was also apparently a family rift when Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, passed away. And they had an idea to put pretty much a tourist attraction there at their compound in North Carolina. And apparently Ruth did not want that. But after she passed away, they made her grave, and of course Billy Graham's grave will be right next to hers, as a tourist attraction, and that might be one of the reasons that Anne has kind of gone by the wayside, because this was in the news, and this was a division within their family that they did not want that, Billy and Ruth Graham, but apparently Franklin wants it. Listen, we've got a line available for you right now on the toll-free at 1-800-436-3260. Sean is waiting to take your call here in studio, 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening outside of Canada or the U.S., you can call us directly at 813-425-5773. When we return, we've got a request from the poet laureate of the Gospel Revolution, Jackie Bernard. You're going to be interested in this, and we'll be right back with the rest of this here program right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Gospel issue number one, sin.
The issue of sin is big, that because of one man's sin, that God took that sin and charged it against everybody's account. We didn't do what Adam did, but we became what Adam was. If Adam is called the first Adam and Jesus is called the last Adam, my mind must remain arrested to this comparison. By one man's sin, all were made sinners, and that by one man's obedience, all have been made righteous. All of you that have believed, know that you know that feeling and that sense of relief from sin. You know that feeling very well. My challenge to you is that you could have that every day of your life without ever addressing sin again. Ever.
Any questions? Go to GospelRevolution.com and order Gospel 101 now. Available in singles or discount multi-packs of 10, 25, and 50 CDs. If you don't ask any questions, you're not going to get any answers.
Thank you, Robert Moore and Matt Perry, for your significant contributions to that spot. Everything, Gospel 101 and all of Michael's teachings, all of the archives, the free downloadable transcript, all available, and so much more at GospelRevolution.com. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's George Howell Day. Hope you're having a happy George Howell Day. And if you're just logging on, you got to listen to the beginning of the webcast on the archive to know what we're talking about. Got this email, Michael, from the poet laureate of the Gospel Revolution today. He says this was based on him receiving the email newsletter. And by the way, folks, if you're listening, and you are because you're listening right now, and you're not receiving the e-newsletter, just go on to GospelRevolution.com and just page down, and you'll see the place where you sign up for the e-newsletter. And they're not long, but they're good, and you're going to want to get those. So just sign up for the e-newsletter that comes out at least once a week, GospelRevolution.com. So, Michael, this is what Jackie writes. He says, "It is amazing how our thoughts run along parallel lines. Week after week, the webcast echoes our simultaneous meditations. I would love to hear you read The Soul Composure on the webcast." And Jackie sent this a little over a month ago, and I so appreciate his reminding me about it, and especially in light of the quote that we had from St. Teresa earlier on the webcast, and which we sent out on the email. He said, "Guys, I wish I had known the gospel of composure many years sooner. Then I would not have had so much spiritual nerve damage." So here is the gospel of composure. "God's heart beats within me, a steady rhythm to unsteady life. I, for the most part, was not aware of the gospel's pursuit. Illogical religion had rendered me insensitive to the logical gospel. The weightless yoke and burden of Christ were buried under the crush of guilt, confession, duty, and performance. Life itself was a burden to bear. There was no room for rhythm there. But in the course of time and continuing on, a glimpse here and there, then like flashing rays, I began to know the truth. Life is not rhythmic, but I am aware of God's heartbeat, and it bestows the gift that made my life shift into stability and rhyme. Christ and I are same. I don't know failure or blame, for these Christ is the closure. He is my soul's composure." That from Jackie Bernard.
Yeah, good stuff. I think that's the that's very indicative of what everybody, you know, like what we were saying earlier, that the gospel is the power of God for the saving of the soul. And Man, I mean, and that just speaks to this 100%. My gosh, and of course, you know, this seems to be the thing that I'm really obsessing with tonight, is this reality that we know what the power of God is and what it's for. My gosh, think about it. We know what the power of God is and what it is for, specifically, logically, communicatively, on every level. It's concise, it's persistent, it's consistent, as Vic was pointing out, is that we need a gospel that's as consistent as Islam is with hell and judgment, instead of Christianity, which is kind of in between the two. And my goodness, folks, Jesus, my. Listen, you know what the power of God is. It is the gospel. What you say, well, what is the gospel? The gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. It hadn't gotten any more or any less. Never will. Gospel of peace, gospel of grace. That is the power of God.
Yes.
Now, you don't even have to wonder, what does the power of God do? You don't even have to stop and think about it. Because Paul made it very clear that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God, and in that revelation, it saves the soul. It renews the mind. It saves the soul, to the saving of the soul. I'm high on this tonight. Anybody that's listened to this program one single time, do you realize that if you've listened to any program we've ever done, in 5 years, if you listen to any single tape that I've done in the last 10 years, at least the last 10 years, maybe more, you know what the power of God is, and you know what the power of God is for. You don't have to be duped. You don't have to be drawn away. You don't have to go find a biscuit with a pearl in it, or a piece of bread with the apostles on it.
Wait. A biscuit with a pearl in it? What the hell is that?
I don't know what that is.
I like that, though. A biscuit. That's the name of the show, Sean. A biscuit with a pearl in it. All right. No, you don't. It's a beautiful thing. This gospel, we're not as consistent as Islam. We're more consistent than Islam. I'll say it this way. The gospel is consistent. The gospel produces spiritual rationality, spiritual logic, spiritual mental vital disposition. And, of course, we're growing in grace. That's what the process is. That's what salvation is. It's a process. We're in the process right now. We have not arrived yet in our thinking. We have completely and utterly arrived, like the great story of Scott Johnson, who we just got a fantastic question from Anchorage, Alaska, which we'll get to in a minute. Like, he came to the finish line in his great story at the Christian Music Festival. If you haven't gotten that CD, you need to get that CD. That's one that you'll never forget. Ladies and gentlemen, you are as free, just like Michael talked about from Doug from Little Rock a couple of weeks ago. He and you and we and all of us are as free as we're ever going to be. The question is, will we acknowledge it? It's an acknowledgement process. It's acknowledging on a consistent basis this good news. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is George Howell Night here on the Gospel Revolution Weekly webcast. Glad to have you along. And speaking of Arkansas, let's go back to Little Rock. And the very beautiful human is online with us. Chris Ann Panther. Chris Ann!
Oh, my gosh, Glenn and Michael, it's so good to hear your voices.
Oh, my God.
It's even better to hear yours, hon. How are you?
Well, you know, it's kind of been a rough day today. It's kind of unusual because You know, we just got discharged yesterday, but after being in cancer treatment for 8 months, going to the clinic for 7 days a week, practically, it's kind of like, okay, now what? You kind of think, okay, I got to get a new life here. But it really is, it's been wonderful to come this far road and journey that we've been on. And to know that Friday we're hopping in the old 98 Toyota Sienna van and heading back to heaven, as I like to say, Iowa. But
that's what was revealed in the Field of Dreams.
That's right.
the ghosts of baseball players past, including Shoeless Joe Jackson, asked Kevin Costner, "Is this heaven?" And Kevin Costner did not say no. He just responded, "It's Iowa."
That's right. So it's been a long journey, but I have to say that people have asked me, you know, on Facebook and everything, you know, how have you done this, you know, for 8 months? And I told them to listen to you guys tonight, and they find out why, how.
Wow.
But just really, you know, renewing my mind daily, constantly, whenever the thought comes through my mind that what God has done for me, and this righteousness that I have been so unmerited, you know, graciously given, and just floating in it, and you know, there doesn't mean that there haven't been times of utter boredom. I mean, utter boredom has been the thing that has probably, you know, tried to strangle me the most. And when you're used to being a people person and being around people 24/7 almost, and then you're you know, thrown into an apartment with a strong man that is very, very sick, and and it's just quite it's the only thing that there is to hold on to, you know. And it's been wonderful. He's brought us along beautifully. Stephen is in full remission after double stem cell transplants. He got into
really. He is in full remission.
Yeah, we're all done with treatments. We're all done.
Oh my gosh! Congratulations.
Thank you. And he's,
oh my gosh! What good news is that?
Yeah. He's completely clean, and so we will head back home for 5 weeks on Friday, and then we will begin our 3 years of maintenance program, which will basically, we'll head back down June 14th for 3 days of testing, and then we'll do that every 3 months the first year, and then every 6 months the last 2 years, and if he stays in remission that whole time, then it'll just be once a year that he will come down and get checked out. So we're looking forward with hope to many, many years of fishing for him. And so it's, you know, you just all have
wonderful.
One day at a time anyway. I tell people, you know, he doesn't have any shorter life than I do. And it's been a wonderful experience.
Boy.
We would never do it any other way.
That's awesome. So, listen, we've got another caller online. Can you hold on, Chris Ann? Because she wants to talk to you. Let us go to beautiful Crestview, Florida. Our dear friend Catherine Fail Phillips is online. Catherine! Catherine? Hold on. Sean's figuring it out. Catherine, you there? Rats.
Oh.
Hold on. I've been in correspondence with Catherine on Facebook. And she has a comment for you.
Okay.
All right, let's try it here again. Can we try it again, Sean? Catherine? Hello? We haven't had three callers online for a while. All right, here's what we're going to do, Sean. Just tell Catherine to hold on. For some reason, we can't get all three lines going at once.
Hey, I'll drop off
you got her on mute by any chance? Catherine? All right, just hopefully she can hear me and she'll hold on and then you can hear Catherine what she has to say to you. We're so overjoyed with your good news. And
Thank you, Glenn.
Now I want to ask you a question, Chrisanne, and you guys going through this. Was it helpful to you? I know knowing and understanding the gospel, that was helpful. But I think in your particular case, not spiritualizing cancer and health.
Oh, definitely.
Instead, that beast which is spiritual, which is righteousness and the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace, and not letting spirituality spill over into whether or not cancer and her health. Tell me what your thoughts are on that.
Well, you know, Michael, you find it, and Glenn too, you know, we have a Caring Bridge page, and I have journaled on that, you know, here or there, mostly all the time, but and I know a lot of the people that are, you know, reading it daily and praying for us, you know, do not have the same mindset that I have as far as faith and healing.
Yes.
And but I've come to the, you know, I came into this thing not like I did years ago when my best friend's sister was dying of breast cancer. And I've come so far to the place where, you know, my faith has just been that He's with us no matter what happens. You know, that we are redeemed, and that I've never once prayed, "Oh God, please heal him." It hasn't even entered my mind.
Really?
Never.
Really?
It's so helpful.
I am honest to God truth.
I just had chills down my entire body of absolute joy. Chrisanne, that's the reason I wanted to ask you this question, is because this is the pinpoint of what we've been dealing with here recently. And man, I tell you, and then of course our comments right before you came on is that we know what the power of God is. We know what the power of God is, and we know what it's for. And in your case, it didn't change, did it?
No,
the power of God is still the gospel, and it's for the saving of the soul. It's not for the getting rid of cancer.
Yeah. You know, a long time ago, I was dealing with our son, and I remember at an Al-Anon meeting, this was years ago, and I came to the place, you know, with God that I said, whether he ends up in jail or ends up dead in the street or, on drugs, you know, it doesn't matter. Because I know that my God will bring me through that.
That's awesome.
And that was the same thing that I had when this thing came up. It doesn't matter what will happen, because I know I'll continue living, and I will get through this, and Steve will get through this one way or the other.
Right.
You know, so holy love, knowing it wasn't from God that he got this.
Yes, absolutely.
Or from the devil.
Not a curse from the devil. You didn't leave the door open for the devil. Oh my gosh! I'm telling you, I'm so excited for you, and I'm proud of you. Kind of like I'm proud of the gospel, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
I'm just proud of
you.
Oh my gosh!
Just some crappy things, you know, dealing with my kids down here, and it's tough being a mom 500 miles away, but you know what? You know, then I renew my mind to that too. That hey, I'm a human being, and so it's all right. And go and forgive, ask him, I'm sorry, say, hey, you know, I'm a little overbearing here, and it's all right. You know, and I go to, but I don't ever ask God to forgive me. Forget that. I haven't done that for years.
Yeah, how about that? My goodness.
So, good talking with you guys. So get that other
you
lady
too.
On
no,
right.
No, no, hold on, Chrisanne, because Sean's got it fixed.
Okay, good.
Being,
all right, okay.
Being the call screener, engineer, and producer extraordinaire that he is, he's calling Catherine back, and I think that we're going to want to hear you guys together. This is Glenn Klein Online. So happy to have you with us on this Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We've got Chrisanne Panther from Little Rock, by way of Iowa, God's country.
Yep.
And yeah. And now we're going to have be welcoming Catherine Fail Phillips, excuse me, from Crestview, Florida. Catherine!
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now, Verizon.
Oh. Okay.
Say hello to Chris Ann Panther and Mike Williams.
Oh, Chris Ann, I love you.
Oh, Catherine.
I absolutely love you right at this moment.
Oh.
Mike, you know that I love you.
Yes, thank you, Catherine.
I have listened to Mike for as long as I have had my experience with the Lord, and I have grown because of the light that God has given him. But to Chris Ann, I just so want to just tell you that someone recently told me it's okay if you pass away, because I have a muted gene in my DNA from my Jewish background that kind of came to the forefront when I was 40, and I'm going to be 49. It rendered me very, as far as my ability to come and go and have my career and to choose the life that I was going to have, it really disabled that, and it has been a very hard process. But when I heard you talk, I so wanted to tell you that, you know, I asked someone the other day that had called me a question, and they were sick too, with cancer of the liver. And I'm sorry, I just had an interruption. Cancer of the liver and also hepatitis C through giving blood transfusions. So even though these things come to us, you know, beyond our control, you know, what Mike has said about the healing of the soul, I think is so important, because the more that I am actually able to be aware of the depth of the love of God itself, and how it is awakened within me, and my eyesight is actually changed, you know, even living in my circumstances become different in the way that I see them. I'm held above them, not beneath them. I'm able to go right through them, straight through them.
Uh-huh.
And I was so touched, you know, by what you said, because it is a journey. Mm-hmm. And but I do believe that healing is available within the body, and I do believe it is by the kingdom of God that lives within us. But the thing that I wanted to say to you was, this friend that had called me said, you know, Catherine, it's okay. It's okay if you pass away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is something that in my love just of the Lord himself, you know, I have so wanted to experience in this earth, you know, every possible healing that I can experience. But when I was living in the light of, I need to be healed, I need to be healed, you know, it really created a struggle within me where I was not able to accept the reality of what I was actually living in. It was like living in two worlds that did not merge together.
Yeah.
And for me personally, when that person said to me, it's okay, Catherine, if you pass away, I cannot tell you the freedom that it gave me to just go on and let those two parts of my reality merge, because the greatest reality to me is the truth of the gospel. I mean, above and beyond all things, it speaks to me in the greatest depth of truth. But my reality stares something very much different back to me in my life.
Michael, I'd be remiss, Catherine, if I didn't ask Michael. Michael, when you hear Catherine say that healing is available through the kingdom of God, and we so appreciate you calling and sharing your heart, Catherine. But Michael, when you hear somebody who really has a grasp on the gospel like Catherine does say that healing is available through the kingdom of God, what's your reaction to that?
Well, of course, I don't espouse to any miraculous recovery because of what you know. However, we've discussed many times on the program that the insistence and the consistency of the gospel in the soul, I definitely believe, delivers a healthier human being.
Mm-hmm.
But on a miraculous level, I don't go there. I don't get upset if people do. But the influence of the gospel upon the soul, I mean, the doctors tell us that the worry and mental and emotional stress can bring on all kinds of maladies and disorders. So in that context, that's the way I would see that.
So I need to ask Catherine now. Catherine, how does that sound to you?
I do understand what Mike is saying, and I really respect his position because, you know, Mike, I believe, has received a great light that gives us such an entrance into the absolute glory of God. But I do know that we are all pieces and parts in the kingdom, and that we do not within ourselves understand, you know, all revelations, all measure, all pieces and parts
right.
to this glorious picture that we have been given. Now, I do want to say what my intention was in that. My intention was in saying that, you know, that healing is available in the kingdom of God. You know, I know that every time that my, you know, being is made aware of a freedom, and it may be simply by something that I hear of another where they've gained freedom, I know that every time that I hear something that enlarges me in my understanding of the love of God, you know, and the love of Christ, you know, I know that I am made more in my ability to sustain just where I am, where other people in my position today are flat on their backs because of their autonomic nervous system, and they're not able to get up and keep going throughout the day. You know, this is something that I know that God himself, out of his love for me, how it reaches me, you know, in these times is only in his understanding. I do not understand that.
Right.
But I know that he has sustained me to a degree that other people that, you know, I'm in contact with the same disease. And I'm not saying that God loves me more.
No, I know.
I just simply feel like that if God has time in any situation to get an inroad of love of the gospel to you, that in that instance, I believe we are made up of moments in our life, and it's not a destination. You know, that eternity has already come to us, and in that we already live, even though we are living a human existence.
Of course.
And so I do not understand anything like Mike said about the miraculous. That instantaneous, I have no understanding of that. But my intent was just specifically to say that in this moment, you know, where Chris Ann is feeling this, you know, confidence, that this moment is very true and it is very real and it is what makes us alive at this moment. It is what makes the gospel real to us. And I was just wanting to touch in with her and say that if this so happens, whatever way that it turns, that it's okay because we have already begun our eternity. And I just wanted to let her know that I so love her and know where she's coming from. That was just...
You know, Mike, we can hear that. I mean, I hear that. I have absolutely no doubt that when people like Chris Ann and Steve Panther and Catherine and our precious, loving brother Richard Mull and you and me, well, we're going through stuff. We're going through physical maladies that the gospel... has to be beneficial on some level.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's beneficial for us in the fact that the end result is not where we've hung our head.
Right, which is exactly what Catherine was saying.
Yes, and that's the thing in what she is one of the powerful things in what she's saying. And that it is the moment. It's right now. Right now is when you need peace. Right now is when you need to know that you're loved and you're acknowledged by God, and that a sickness or a disease has not made you a person who doesn't have faith or doesn't have healing or doesn't have blessing, that those things cannot, even as Chris Ann was telling us, that at no point did the cancer or the healing or the health become the spiritual thing, that she allowed the thing that was spiritual, which is the gospel, remain that.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Catherine says, you get sick, you could die.
Right.
Exactly.
You really could die.
Well, we're all going to die, folks. That's just the truth. And there's nothing to
well
be...
or sick, one way or the other.
Exactly. We're all going to go. And
may I interject something real quick?
Sure.
I just wanted to say that, all of us know that in the gospel that is purported in the world through the churches, that there is a real push that if there is something that does not line up with perfection in our lives as being in the flesh and being human, that there is something that we need to strive for. And, I think the striving is the greatest impediment to the gospel. Because if anyone ever tells you, I even had a church a couple of months ago, the pastor called me and I had gone to visit one time by an invite by a friend, and they were like, oh, you've got to be here. We need you here, da-da-da-da-da. I see you here, I see you there.
Wait. Da-da-da-da-da?
Well, I'm just saying
I love the da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the pastor kept calling me and telling me, you need to come, and we need to pray for you, or you won't be healed. And she had called me many times about my absences, which were strictly because, one thing, I was going there, and it's very hard for me to make an appearance for 4 or 5 hours at a gathering and sit up for that long. And so it's something that she did not understand. But when she told me that, they needed to pray for me so I could be healed, I would not be healed. And I said, I have already given you the opportunity and the privilege of praying for me. But, if I am healed, it will not be because I come to your church, because our God, He is in my midst. He is with me. He is alive within me. And if He were to tell me, go straightway and do this, I would know this for myself. And I said, do not call here and put burdens on me that are more than I already bear. And she started crying and saying, I do love you. I said, I do not question your love. I do question your understanding of what love is and the gospel. And so we haven't talked since that point, but the striving, if anybody ever tells you, okay, Catherine, you're sick, but you have to be healed. No, I don't have to be healed.
Oh, come on, now you're preaching. Now you're preaching.
Yeah, I don't have to be healed, because is it better that I stay for your sake, or is it better that I go for my sake? If anything holds me to this world, it is the love of God that I have received. And this gospel that Mike preaches and all of us that are involved in this cluster of individuals that absolutely are in love with Christ Himself, it is that connection alone that, helps us. No man is an island to himself. And where I may not be able to go to church and I may not have a big group of friends, I do have this connection. But I do also have a greater connection. This greater connection is that love that was shed abroad for me, myself, for Catherine. Even though it is a collective, it is an individual. And to know this is to know that I love Him because He first loved me. And how is that that love came to me?
That's good.
It is because that I heard these hearts. And one of those, and I do not put Mike in any position above any other man, even myself. It is because of this gospel and this light that has come through him and has come to many others. And, you know, this is the connection that I have. I don't know where the other lines come. That's not how I was connected. But I just, about this healing, I want, you know, I proclaim this and declare this for myself. Do I want to pass away? No, I want to see it all.
Right,
the
right.
Lives of my children, the lives of those around me that
right.
make me laugh. But if I do, you know, in the big scheme of everything, I am already completed.
Mm-hmm.
What is this life if I am taken from it to a greater glory? There is a glory in this life. But mm-hmm. there is also the greatest glory of all. And so, you know, whether I do or whether I don't, the pain I will go through, no one can cry my tears for me. But then no one can laugh my laughter for me either. And so my whole thing was to just connect with Chris Ann and say, oh, my gosh, I hear every word you're saying. What they tell you for the future, this is your plan. But the ultimate plan, only one person knows in each person's life. And that right. is our Father. And, you know, it's okay with him. And if it's okay with him, it's okay with me. And I just love all of you. And thank you so much for all of your input.
Thank you, Catherine.
That's awesome. Chris Ann, Catherine, thank you. You made the night. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
All right, give Steve our love, will you?
I sure will.
All right, Catherine, stay in touch, honey. Yeah, and love the Facebook contact, Catherine, too.
Yes, okay. Me too.
Okay, honey.
Bye-bye.
There's Chris Ann Panther of Iowa in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Catherine Fail Phillips from Crestview, Florida. Wow. That's all I have to say, Mikey, is wow. Michael?
Yes, I wanted to tell you that the one thing that I got so tickled about was her comment, her response to the people at the church was, if I do get healed, it won't be because of your church or your prayers. Oh, my God. I had to turn my mic off. That's the reason you couldn't hear me. I was cracking up. Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that somebody would have that much confidence in their heart about who they are to tell somebody who's trying to find their identity through what they do to say, even if I do get healed, it won't be because of your church or your prayers.
Folks, you can never find your identity in what you do or what you experience. You have to find your identity in what Joshua experienced. And what he did for Chris Ann, what he did for Steve, what he did for Catherine, and what he did for our next caller, our senior Cincinnati correspondent, the maestro. Please welcome Greg Amberge. Greg!
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know who that was. Catherine?
That's Catherine. Catherine.
But that's Catherine.
Wow. I mean, the stuff that she was saying was so rich. I bet I listened to the webcast three or four times this week. The archive, because she was saying so many just profound things, and I wanted to stop. I wanted to hit stop and think about them for a while. But I guess, you know, when you're forced, as some people that we know, I think there's a lot of people that are friends of the Gospel Revolution that are right now in some really kind of dire straits.
No doubt.
I think about George Najjar with his son, and of course,
Richard.
Richard, exactly. Richard's a guy that just, you know, you meet him the first time and you feel like you've known him your whole life. But as we face these times in our lives where where normally we would have been running to the church saying, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, why, we're saying it's okay.
Exactly. And the other powerful thing, Michael, that, you know, Greg has heard and embraced is that when people are suffering and they are in the midst of it or in the aftermath of it, one of the most powerful things that you can say to somebody is not that I understand or that they're in a better place or that it's all going to be all right. It's just simply that sucks.
Yeah. You know, of course, you can watch people's heads bounce up and down when you're giving them the pat answers. And it's just amazing just to be able to connect with them and just acknowledge where they are, you know. I remember probably 20 years ago, a little letter that I read that was from someone who was suffering from cancer. And she went through a litany of visitors that she had. And one came to pray. One came to cast the devil out of her. One came and pointed out that she had to have sin in her life or this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And this whole litany, you know, and all of them with these wonderful hearts saying, I'm here to help. And then she said that, talked about the one that just came and just sat there and listened to her. And she said there was nothing more powerful than that, and that was where she actually found some relief.
It's awesome. Hey, Greg, we're up against the clock, buddy, but thank you so much.
I just
want
to say thanks to Catherine. That was just awesome.
Wasn't that sweet?
It's good stuff. It's the Gospel Revolution is made up of all kinds and from all parts of the world.
Yay.
And they all make one. And the reason they make one is because we are all equal. You can take, folks, anything that is in unity, and you can separate it in as many particles and parts as you can imagine. But as long as they're separated in equal and exact parts, you bring them back together, and it's still one, regardless of how they're separated. If they're equal, you bring them back together, and they're one. That's a very profound insight that Michael has shared with me recently. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, guys.
There's Greg Amberger,
love you, Greg,
the maestro from Cincinnati, Ohio. And now our last caller online, we're saving the pastor and the ambassador of the Gospel Revolution. We're going to go to Decatur, Alabama. Love hearing from. Let's go to Ted Winslet. Ted!
Good evening.
Hey, Ted.
How are you gentlemen doing today?
We're doing wonderfully. Ted, we're up against the clock, and you're going to love this question from Scott Johnson, and I think you're going to have some insight from Scotty, the Socrates, of course, of the Gospel Revolution. The topic on his email is divine inspiration. He says, Michael, what do you think it means when people say that the Scriptures are divinely inspired?
Oh, brother. I could write you a book on that.
Go
but
ahead.
That's okay. We won't do it tonight. Okay?
All right. Well, but Michael, I want to hear, Ted, your comments after Michael makes his comments.
Yeah, okay, great.
Go, Mikey.
Well, if they're talking about the Scriptures, of course, the divine, and they're simply making reference to a perfect being inspired these. And that's my understanding of the divine, that it had, divine means that it wasn't human, and that it was by a source outside of the human psyche that brought this understanding about.
You know, and that's one thing, one of the wonderful things about understanding that the New Testament is not part of those divinely inspired scriptures, that it's just strictly what Jesus, what Joshua called the Scriptures, the Law, the Psalms, and the Prophets. When you realize that the Law, the Psalms, and the Scriptures, as Josh defined them, all being about him, and you read it in that context and that understanding, and you realize that the foreshadowing and the foretelling and the predicting of what was to come, you can only come to the same conclusion that Joshua did, that it was about him, and that they were, if there's anything on the planet that was set up, that was sovereignly put into place by God, is the history that you see recorded of the nation of Israel, of the people of God, in what the religion calls the Old Testament, which wasn't the Old Testament, of course, the Old Testament, of course, was the blood of bulls and goats as a sacrifice. The scriptures are not the Old Testament. The Old Testament was that old system that Yeshua said would be done away with at the cross, and which, Ted, was done away with at the cross. Ted?
Yes, okay. Oh, okay, two things here. The Old Testament, it was Matthew when Jesus said, Moses, the Psalms, and Prophets. Called them Scripture.
Right.
Okay, anybody, now I'm talking about the New Testament now, anybody's ever done their church history, I mean, really, you look, nowhere in there do they say they are inspired of God to write that. Paul
You're
mentioned
exactly
twice,
right.
I believe I speak the words of the Lord or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you check your church history, these were books assembled, or letters assembled, by Constantine and some bishops from all over the world.
Right.
Never does it say they're inspired. Now, I teach out of the New Testament every week, just because I want to. But anyway, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Ted, we do the same damn thing every week, just because we want to, because we like
well,
to.
Well, because we want.
Except I don't use unprofessional language like that. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Right on. Come on, preach it now.
But anyway, I'm telling you, it's like Miss Catherine said, I think, it's in her heart and in her mind, God is who God is.
Yay.
But I'm not going to limit God. I don't care if it's healing or stopping tornadoes from hitting here. I'm not going to limit him. We don't even know how many dimensions there are. We are, what, three-dimensional people. I mean, we have a shadow, but that's not us. That's two-dimensional. We're three. All right, for sure there's 16 dimensions. We don't know, you know, what influence God is having on us, but yet we try to confine him to our human mind. Okay, God, if I do this, then that means you'll do that. Well, I gave up on that a long time ago.
Well, you know, Ted, I just got a reply email from Scott Johnson in Anchorage. So we're going from Anchorage to Decatur, Alabama. He said that you, Ted, are the one that inspired him, Scott, to start researching this specific topic from an archive a long time ago. So you are the perfect person, Ted Winslet, to comment.
well, that's I did 2 years of study on that, and still don't know what I'm talking about. But I'll give you for instance, a couple of months ago, I pulled out my old 70s edition of C.I. Scofield Reference Bible.
Right.
All right, if you ever graduated from Tennessee Temple, that was your textbook.
Yeah.
Okay. All the footnotes and all that. Well, I got to do a little research. Come to find out, he was just an editor of that thing. And from the looks of what I was reading, most of his footnotes and all this, he borrowed from someone else. And besides that, he was a lawyer. Got put in jail once for deserting his family. He was called a shyster, this, that, and the other. But he hooked up with D.L. Moody. Said, well, there you go.
Wow.
And
wait a second. You can't be criticizing me for using unprofessional language and then break out shyster. Because I actually know what that means.
Oh, is that the same thing?
No, it's way worse, my friend. It's way worse. Hey, Ted, we got to go. We got another caller. And I said you were going to be the last caller, but we're not going to disappoint her. So, stay in touch, my friend, all right?
Love you, Ted. Thanks.
There's past.
Okay, you're going to cut me off. That's fine.
Bye. We love
you.
See
you later, bro.
Call next week. Yeah, well, Michael did not want to run late tonight, but we're running late, and we're going to go to not too far from where Michael is webcasting live right now. Let's go to Spring, Texas, and our dear sister Julie Wallace is online. Julie!
Hi. Hi, Glenn.
How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Julie.
I'm great. I just...
Awesome.
I'm just loving this program. This is my third webcast, and it's just fabulous. I just heard prior the previous caller, Chris Ann and Catherine. Oh, wow.
Yes.
That just touched home so much.
You got to hear two gospel revolutionaries.
Sorry?
You got to hear two gospel revolutionaries talking about the real stuff.
It's fabulous. It's just fabulous. I'll be honest, I've gotten stale. But my spiritual awakening came 13 years ago, and it wasn't in a church. I've had cancer. I could be the poster child for the medical center. I've had cancer. I've had all kind of maladies that even four or five physicians can't diagnose. I've come through all of that. All seems to be, in my opinion, from my personal experience, it is the love, the grace that Christ has for me. I have so much patience when these illnesses and things come back and about on me that I just patiently wait it out, and whatever the Lord is going to do, He's going to do. If it's take me out of here, it's take me out of here. I kind of find it funny, though, with some of the churches. It's like everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very scary.
Julia, since you've been only listening for a little while, you've got to go back into the archives, because Mike had three serious crises that we thought were crises happened in the last year, where
life threatening,
and you need to hear his story, and that's going to be coming out as well in his book. That's going to be coming out in the next, hopefully by the end of the calendar year. But,
fabulous.
Yeah, but listen, we're up against the clock, but please stay in touch with us, okay, honey?
Are you
getting the e-newsletter?
I'm signing up for it on revolution.com.
Gospelrevolution.com.
Gospelrevolution.com.
And you're literally not too far from Michael in Houston, so.
Really?
Yeah, you should be in touch.
I would just love to hear him speak and go somewhere where he's talking. He's met my
Well, let's go to breakfast
he's met
sometime.
My parents. They've met him.
Did you hear that, Julie? Michael just invited you to breakfast.
Let's go to
IHOP.
Oh,
really? I would love it. I would just love
it. Oh, let's go to IHOP.
Oh, he's so inspirational. That
Michael loves his IHOP. I'll tell you that right
now. Yeah, that sounds fun. There's several... Houston's full of IHOPs. So
we're full of IHOPs.
No problem.
Here.
Yeah.
If you can't get to one, just hop over to another one.
And I'm so happy for Catherine. I'm so happy for Chris Ann. Everything.
Yeah.
I'm glad her husband's in remission. Catherine's got fabulous, fabulous insight. Chris Ann's been through it. She's got so much insight. I can really relate to all of that. It's beautiful in one way, and it's the unknown is always kind of a little bit scary in another way, but that's what, thank you God, that's what, Jesus is here for. He just takes me right on through it when it happens, and it'll all come about to work for the good.
All right. Well, listen, Julie, email me your phone number at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. It's webcast. At gospelrevolution.com, and Michael will get that, and then you guys can go to IHOP and have some pancakes.
Yay.
Oh, I would love it.
All right,
I would
honey.
Love it. He's just great.
All right, well, call anytime, all right?
All right.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you so much, Glenn. I appreciate it.
All right,
it.
Honey.
Thanks for
calling.
Bye-bye now.
Here's Julie Wallace from Spring, Texas. It's right there near Klein, Texas, right?
It's across the street from me, actually.
Yeah, you guys are probably going to the same IHOP.
You know, one of the things she said, I just treasure. Of course, the things I pick out of a conversation is probably not the things others would. But her statement that she has learned to be patient with her maladies Do you know how anti-word of faith that is?
And by that, we do not mean before word of faith. We mean anti-word
yes.
of faith.
Anti-word of faith. Anti- oh, my God. And what a powerful statement. I'm telling you, I have learned to be patient with my maladies. Oh, my God. That is the gospel in action. The gospel doesn't eliminate maladies. It doesn't eliminate difficulty. But, dear Lord, you can sure be patient with them.
Right, and that's the stability of the heart that is manifested, folks, when you stay with the gospel. We've seen
Yay,
so many
amen.
Folks that have embraced the gospel and go away, and they don't go back into Christianity, but their mindset goes back to where it was. Why? Because the salvation process is ongoing. It's like taking a shower. It would be like saying, yeah, I understand the shower's good, and I've taken a shower, and it cleaned me off. And now I don't have to take a shower anymore.
Yeah.
You stink. So we're not talking about any kind of eternal consequences. We're not talking about one's righteousness. We're talking about thinking that is stinking. And when you want to have pure, stable, emotionally cleansed thinking, the only way that we have found, and the only way on this George Howell night that we can recommend, is to stay with this gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach. Joseph.
The only thing I can recommend.
Exactly right. Yeshua Joshua, the son of Joseph. Joshua Josephson, as I like to say. All right, beautiful humans. That's going to do it for us. We didn't want to go over tonight, but we did. And so I'm so appreciative of everybody who participated in this webcast, including Victor Brennan from Calgary, Alberta, Chris Ann Panther with her great story, who's currently in Little Rock on her way back. We're so happy to report with her husband, Steve, to the great state of Iowa. Catherine Fail Phillips from Crestview, Florida. Greg Ambergy from the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio. Pastor Ted Winsett from Decatur, Alabama. And Julie Wallace, who we just heard from in Michael's backyard in Spring, Texas. Also want to thank Jackie Bernard and Scott Johnson for their participation. As always, Jeff Robertson, the administrator of the Gospel Revolution and the Secretary of Defense, and Sean O'Halloran, the call screener and engineer producer extraordinaire. And Michael, thanks, buddy. And as Chris Harrington asked you recently, don't you have anything better to do than contemplate this stuff?
That was actually Chris Zimbala.
Oh, that was Chris Zimbala. No, that makes more sense now. That would be a question that Zimbala would ask. That would be more of a question.
Chris would jump right in there. Chris Harrington would jump right in there with me.
Right, right. No, Zimbala would ask that question. And the answer is no. We have nothing better to contemplate than the gospel. Yeah. Hallelujah to you. All right, well, thank you, Mikey. Have a great evening. We love you.
Thanks, Glenn. You too. Appreciate
right,
you.
Have some pancakes for me. I know exactly which high hop you're going to.
For sure.
Was there with you recently. A very special day for me.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, folks, for participating. Go on GospelRevolution.com to stay posted during the week. And we will talk to you 1 week's time on the next George Howell Day. And until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!